All right, we've been going through Acts. So we get into a part here where we had seen Stephen had been stoned to death. We see the condemnation of Israel. The national Israel has lost the opportunity at this point to go into that kingdom. In other words, the kingdom programs would have been put on hold. However, we're going to see believers still being brought into that kingdom because the kingdom's been delayed, not completely cut off from Israel. So you have to understand that the kingdom is still at play and that those things haven't changed other than the delay. So there's going to be a delay, and that's what we have to keep understanding there. So Stephen had been put to death, and Saul was watching all this, holding the cloaks of those who were stoning Stephen, and he was giving approval to what was going on. And so the approval here was something that is very important, because Paul, Saul, had actually a big part in the persecution and a big part in the spread of the kingdom gospel. He was actually trying to stomp out what was going on, but in effect, it turned out that he actually spread them out farther than before, which is kind of interesting. Now we have here verse 4, "Therefore those who had been scattered went abroad preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and began preaching Christ to them. The crowds with one accord were giving attention to what was said by Philip as they heard and saw the signs which he was performing. For in the case of many who had unclean spirits, they were coming out of them shouting with a loud voice. And many who had been paralyzed and lame were healed. So there was much rejoicing in that city." We'll stop there at that point because we're seeing the same message being presented. It talks about him, Philip, presenting the word. He was preaching Christ to them. What was he teaching them about Christ?
Messiah.
And when it says preaching Christ, it says he was preaching Messiah. And so he was preaching the same thing that Jesus and the disciples were preaching because nothing else had been told them to preach. That's the gospel message. That gospel message is about Jesus Christ as Messiah. And that's what Israel needed to believe, and that's still the gospel that's being preached at this point. The one thing that's missing from this is the kingdom is at hand. So if you recall, Jesus was preaching, the kingdom is at its hand. When we get to Peter, he says that to bring that time of refreshing in, which would be the kingdom again, that you need to believe in Jesus Christ as Messiah. But right now, they're not proclaiming the kingdom at hand anymore. However, there's still Israelites that need to be saved. The kingdom, as we know, won't come in for another 2,000 years or so. However, they still, like I said, they need to be saved. And so the gospel message is still going out. It hasn't been changed, unless, except for that the idea that the gospel, that the kingdom is at hand. And so he is preaching the same thing. He's preaching what Jesus and the disciples taught. He's preaching not just in Israel, in Jerusalem now, but he's moving on beyond Jerusalem and moving out. This is where it began, in Jerusalem. And remember that Jesus talks about starting in Jerusalem, going to Judea, out into Samaria, and just as a point of reference, Galilee, and then the uttermost part of the world, which would be the rest of the world. That's the order that they are to present the gospel. What happened in Jerusalem? It was rejected, wasn't it? That gospel message was rejected. And at this point here, people are now going outside of Jerusalem with that gospel message. The gospel message, as many teach, is not the gospel of the grace of God, because they think the church started in Acts 2. There's no indication that they're teaching anything different. They're teaching the gospel of the kingdom, But they're not teaching that that kingdom is at hand. They're basically coming in and saying that this gospel of the kingdom, we still have the gospel of the kingdom to look forward to. And that's the kingdom that they wanted to be a part of. That's the kingdom that they were hoping would come in. When Jesus came in on the colt, what were they hoping for? That he was the king, going to set up the kingdom at that point in time, that he would be the Messiah, that he would take care of their enemies, that he would cast off, for instance, Rome. Rome had jurisdiction over them. Well, they wanted to be free of that. They wanted to get rid of any of their enemies that were coming in on them. They wanted their kingdom set up so that they would have Jesus Christ, the Messiah, on the throne, and that they would live in peace. That's what they were hoping for. When it didn't happen, that was a big disappointment for many people. When they thought the kingdom was going to be set up, it was going to come in, Jesus told them a parable about the king went away. Now that's in Luke. Forgot the chapter offhand, but in Luke we talk about that. He tells them a parable indicating that the king is not going to set up that right away. It talks about the in Luke 13 about the vineyard. They have an extra year to believe, but that extra year has been used up now. That extra year has already passed, and we have Stephen being stoned. We have the testimony of the Holy Spirit coming to an end. The Holy Spirit now has been blasphemed by Israel. The leaders of Israel have blasphemed the Holy Spirit by rejecting the ministry of the Holy Spirit through Stephen. So we have a problem here now with Israel. Israel, specifically those in Jerusalem, the leadership of Jerusalem have rejected it, but that's not going to stop the spread of the gospel of the kingdom. It's still the good news of the kingdom because anyone that believes will be going into the kingdom. They'll be brought back to life and the kingdom will be set up at that point. And we read verses in the past about those coming from the east and the west. And that we'll have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob sitting at the table in that kingdom that's been set up. And so we've got people coming back to life. They're going to be enjoying life in the kingdom. We've got these people that need to be reached as they go out and beyond with this message of the gospel. Now we have Simon the sorcerer show up. And this is in the city of Samaria. And Simon the sorcerer is someone who's kind of taken with what's going on. And he's seeing the spiritual manifestation of the Holy Spirit given to these people. There was much rejoicing in that city. Verse 9, now there was a man named Simon who formerly was practicing magic in the city and astonishing the people of Samaria, claiming to be someone great. So he was using his magic powers, actually powers from Satan, who was doing things that mortals couldn't do. And they all, from the smallest to the greatest, were giving attention to him, saying, this man is what is called the great power of God. So he was attributing Satan's power to God's power. People were accepting him as a man of God because he was able to do things that mortals couldn't do. And they were giving him attention because he had for a long time astonished them with his magic arts. So the sorcerer, when we use that word, it's magos in the Greek, and it's the root word for magi. So the magi that came in from the east to see Jesus, they were magicians. They were probably sorcerers. They were people who were using black arts, magic, in order to fool the people and to have the powers that they had. Or they could have been just pretending they did. You know, often if you, like Pharaoh. Pharaoh had the group of people there that were using the magic to do things. And they were able to do some of the things, the early of the 10 plagues that came, they were able to do the first few, which really didn't help their cause, but they were also able to do things that Satan perhaps had a hand in. But they weren't able to do all the others. But they had powers that were not normal human powers. They had to come from outside of that. And it was Satan who was working through these people. So the Magi, also called the wise men, were wise because they understood the black arts magic and the black arts sorcery that was being done. And Simon was that type of a person. Simon the sorcerer, he was a sorcerer, which means that he was getting his power from Satan. And he was actually, as he sees these things happening, he becomes quite intrigued with them because he understands that there's a power going on here that the disciples are displaying, and he wants this power. Verse 12, but they believed Philip, preaching the good news about the kingdom of God. So what's he preaching?
Kingdom.
The good news of the kingdom. The good news of the kingdom is that you can go into the kingdom if you're a believer. And that's exactly where they're going to be. However, that kingdom has been pushed off. It's not in the near future anymore because Israel's been cut off as a nation. And the name of Jesus Christ, they were being baptized, men and women alike. Again, nothing has changed. They still have the baptism. And they were believing in the kingdom. Even Simon himself believed, which is interesting. So Simon is a believer. And after being baptized, he continued on with Philip. He's watching him. He's intrigued again. He's watching Philip do all these things and probably trying to figure out, how are you able to harness the power that I would like? And so he wants to have this power. So even Simon believed, and after being baptized, he continued with Philip, and he observed the signs, the great miracles taking place. He was constantly amazed. So he was quite intrigued with this whole thing. And as we would be, you know, if you're watching somebody doing miracles, people being healed of the sick, and all these things that were going on, it would be intriguing, wouldn't it? And people followed Jesus because they were intrigued by what's happening. Not only intrigued, but many people they knew and maybe themselves were healed as the healing was going on with the disciples and Jesus. And now it's continuing on with Philip. This healing, which always, these signs are always going along with the gospel of the kingdom. You won't see the signs of the miracles and all these things going with the gospel of the grace of God. An indication that nothing has changed, that the gospel is still being presented as was presented with Jesus and the disciples. So, Simon believed, he watched all these signs, the great miracles, and he was watching Philip and probably trying to see, well, how do you do this? You know, what's your power that you're using? And when the disciples, in verse 14, in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John. So remember, the disciples, when they were scattered, where did the disciples stay?
Jerusalem.
Yeah, they stayed in Jerusalem because they were still responsible for that area, and they were doing what Jesus had told them to do. Begin in Jerusalem, get them saved. Well, they didn't get saved, but they're still there probably trying and doing what they can. Many people were scattered, and those people were scattered out and about, and they would end up being scattered outside of Jerusalem while the disciples stayed here. But now the disciples, the apostles, are hearing about what's going on in Samaria. And so as they're in Samaria, they're saying, well, we need to, and Philip was one that was sent out from this area. Philip and Stephen were kind of on equal footing. They both were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were powerful witnesses of what was going on. And at that point, they heard what's going on in Samaria. And now we have to send the official, from the it's an official church visit. Remember, there's a church, and that church is not the Church of the Body of Christ. The church that we're talking about in this part, we're talking about the church in Jerusalem, the Hebrew church. These were believers in the gospel of the kingdom. And so that official church delegation of Peter and John, and Peter, of course, is the head disciple, the head of the apostles there, James was the head of the church. Peter's head of the apostles. And so Peter and John went up into Samaria. And they're meeting up with Philip and finding out what's going on here. And it says that in 14 again, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God. And that's in contrast to what happened in Jerusalem, isn't it? Jerusalem, there was actually several thousand who had received it. But out of the population here, that's actually a very small remnant of those living in Jerusalem and in Judea. So there's a small remnant that believe, but no, by no means did Jerusalem go for the Messiah. Which is why now it's spreading, and which is why that that rejection of the gospel of grace, or the gospel of the kingdom, that stoning of Stephen happened, because they didn't want anything to do with it. And it says, he came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Now, this verse is a punch in the gut to Acts 2 people. It should be, anyway, if they're really thinking this through. Many believed. When do you get the Holy Spirit?
When you believe.
When you believe. It's automatic. If you don't get the Holy Spirit when you believe, then are you saved?
No.
Well, no, you're not. That is what happens. When you're saved, you get the Holy Spirit. You're sealed by the Holy Spirit. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit, then obviously you're not saved. Now, in this case, it said that many believed. But then now, Peter and John are being sent up. They came down and prayed for them so that they would receive the Holy Spirit. Now, this is where the Pentecostals, the Charismatics, get really confused in their theology, because they're picking out theology right here. And they're using this how?
Second work of the Holy Spirit.
This is it right here. And the indication would be what?
Tongues.
Speaking in tongues. So they're picking out all these things from here, even though tongues is one of the least of the gifts, and it also is for the unbeliever. If you do a study on it, tongues is really for the unbeliever. It's a witness to the unbeliever. So in this case here, in verse 16, for he, the Holy Spirit, notice it's a he, had not yet fallen on any of them, for they had simply been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. So we have people who believed, they were baptized. What happened in Acts 2? They believed, they were baptized, they repented, and the Holy Spirit came upon them. Did they pray for the Holy Spirit? No, he just showed up. He just came, he took and filled them up, and they started speaking in tongues and all these other things that were going on as evidence of the Holy Spirit. Now we're seeing the same thing, except there's delays between what happened. But it's still the same thing that happened in Acts 2. They believed, they were baptized, but now they hear, they haven't received the Holy Spirit yet.
I thought the ones at Acts 2 and the 120, I thought they were already believers.
There were probably a number that were believers before all this happened. Like the disciples, obviously, that the 12 were believers, or the 11 were believers. And so, and then they added Thaddeus, who was also a believer, but not an official disciple until they voted him in by the Holy Spirit, who told them to put them in. So yes, they were people who were already believers, but they had not experienced the Holy Spirit. Again, if the Acts, our Acts 2 brethren, if they were honest about what's going on here, they would realize there's a problem. That the Holy Spirit was not in these people before they were saved, and then at a later time, the Holy Spirit comes to them, falls upon them. And that's what we're seeing now with these people in Samaria. It had already happened in Jerusalem. Remember that the baptism was outside of Jerusalem. It was in the Jordan River. And the Jordan runs on the east side of Judea. And so they were in the Jordan being baptized away from the leadership of Israel. The leadership of Israel actually had to come and see, well, what's going on? Because they were corrupt, they were confused, they didn't know what was going on, and they had to figure out, what John was doing. It was a work of God. And they didn't know what a work of God was because they were so far from God. Well, now the same thing is happening up in Samaria. And in Samaria, Philip has preached. They've believed. Many of them believed. They've accepted it. In fact, Samaria, it says that they've accepted his preaching, whereas Jerusalem has really rejected this preaching. This Samaria were gladly receiving it, whereas they were in the process of stoning one of God's men. And so there's a big contrast here between what's going on down in Jerusalem and up in Samaria. So we have verse 16, "For he had not yet fallen upon any of them, that they had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." And they should have had, if they were in this dispensation of grace, the Holy Spirit would have been a part of this process. It's a completely different thing. The Holy Spirit was not there to seal them. The Holy Spirit was there to prove as a sign that they were saved. And we see that the Holy Spirit, when He falls on them, then they give these indications, that the signs that they were actually saved. "Then they began laying their hands on them, and they were receiving the Holy Spirit." So it's important to understand that representatives from Jerusalem were going up into Samaria. And it's an official work of God to bring the gospel outside of this area. Right before that, they were concentrating in Jerusalem. Now we're seeing it spreading, and we're seeing it spreading, this work of God, through the disciples, through the apostles, the original 12 or 11. They were the ones who were going up, and as an official act of God, they were now bringing that up into Samaria.
So, was the laying on the hands by the apostles necessary for the Holy Spirit to come?
In this case, I think it's what they're saying is that this is those in Jerusalem now saying that this is a work of God. And so it took the laying on of hands to receive the Holy Spirit, and they did it. There was no arguing that it came from the original disciples. And so it's really an indication that it's a work of God now spreading into away from Jerusalem, outside the center of worship. Remember that Jerusalem is the center of worship for all of Israel. They split north to south back with Jeroboam or Rehoboam. Rehoboam, I believe, was the son of Solomon. And he wanted to split, and he put his own place of worship up in that northern area so that they now would worship here. He didn't want them going back into Jerusalem. That was absolutely against God. That was thumbing his nose at God, ignoring what the law said. So they set up their own worship up here. Well, they understood. When he talked to the Samaritan woman, he said that we know salvation's of the Jews, and we know that Jerusalem was the center of worship. That is where they had to worship. However, so in a sense, they were cut off because there's the northern 10 tribes and the southern 2 tribes. The northern 10 tribes were basically cut off from the southern 2 tribes. Part of that was because their place of worship was the temple, which is right there. Now, what's happening is we're uniting the southern with the northern tribes, and we're seeing the beginning of that unification now. And that unification was spoken of in Ezekiel with the two sticks that were brought together. So we had the prophet bringing stick one, which would be the southern, stick number two, and binding them together. And that's what's going to happen in the kingdom. It's actually the process that's going to, as they go into the kingdom, they're going to be united completely as a nation.
It does sound like you're describing progressive gospels, in a sense. At first this, and then that, and then that, and then, you know, then a complete change when it gets to the dispensation of grace. Is that how you describe it?
It's the same gospel. Nothing has changed in the gospel.
Except you're describing how to get the Holy Spirit.
Well,
a variation of how that's done.
It's still the same order. If you'll notice, they believed. Believe, somewhere, that's believe. It's not quite right. Okay, they were baptized, and then the Holy Spirit would fall on. That's the order that was being followed from Acts 2.
But then there's the variation in how they received the Holy Spirit.
Yes, there's a little variation, but it's not outside of, we still have the same order. Yeah, and so I don't think that's so much a problem. We are going to see a bit of a problem, kind of, because when we get to Cornelius, what's going to happen? They're going to believe, they're going to get the Holy Spirit, and then be baptized. And that's a major change in how things are done. But because what this shows here, though, when the disciples came from Jerusalem to give them the Holy Spirit, it was done in the proper order, but the timing wasn't just as quickly as before. And there were others before the Holy Spirit came. Obviously, they had the same thing. Many in Jesus' time, the disciples themselves believed, were baptized, but they didn't receive the Holy Spirit until after Jesus Christ died. So there was a delay there before the Holy Spirit came. So it's really, in this case, the Holy Spirit again is delayed, but it's not about their salvation. It's about the indication that that they are having the same experience as down here, that the Holy Spirit is given to the northern tribes just like he was given to the southern two tribes. And I think it was very indicative that God now is bringing these two groups together, beginning to bring the sticks together, if you will, that the prophet said was going to happen. So that's really what we're seeing here, I believe. Let me go back to Simon the sorcerer, and we'll cover this. And then Simon the sorcerer, the interesting thing with Simon is that it says he believed. Now, if you take that as that he believed on what was going on, and I was going to get down to just a little bit further here. Now, in verse 18, when Simon saw the Spirit was bestowed through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this authority to me as well, so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." Because this is a pretty cool thing. And so he wants to have that same power. He wants to be able to give people this ability to speak in tongues. And it was obvious that there were some visible manifestations of the Holy Spirit, because otherwise, why would he want the power? There was an obvious outward expression of the Holy Spirit indwelling people. They're coming upon people. And so that outward expression, do we see that today? No, we don't. Again, we're not talking about the church, the body of Christ here. We're talking about Israel, and we're talking about the Holy Spirit coming on them as they did in Jerusalem. It's a completely different experience. The manifestation of the Holy Spirit, completely different. Don't ever let someone tell you otherwise, because there's just too many differences. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, it's different than when he indwells you. They had no reassurance by the indwelling Holy Spirit and the sealing of the Holy Spirit. That was not the purpose of the Holy Spirit at that point. The purpose of the Holy Spirit was to fulfill a promise given to Israel, and he was going to cause them, he's bringing his group together, and cause them to be able to obey the law perfectly. The Holy Spirit's taking a different track here than he does today in this church, the body of Christ. So Simon believed, but there's one interesting thing here. It never says that he received the Holy Spirit, and I don't know if that's. I take that as actually kind of important, because I don't believe Simon was saved at this point. Although it says that he believed. Well, there are verses that indicate people can believe, but not really believe. If you know what I mean. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Have you heard people say that? Do you think an unsaved person would say that? Yeah, absolutely. They can believe it up here, but if they don't take it here and understand it, that, well, why is that important? If you believe Jesus, it's not just believing Jesus Christ as the Son of God. It's believing that He is the only person who's going to get you saved. And it's the trust. Have you transferred your trust completely to Christ? Now, that's not true just of us, but it's true also of Israel. Anyone in Israel has to understand that the Messiah is the person they have their complete trust in. Are they trusting anything else? The disciples, or the Pharisees, obviously, they didn't believe in Jesus Christ at all. They had their trust in something else. But there are others who can believe, yeah, Jesus Christ is the Messiah. In fact, people were setting Him up as king. They were following Him into the kingdom as He's riding on the donkey, and as He's going in on the donkey, they want to set Him up as king because they think He's the Messiah. But were they trusting Him as their Savior in that sense, in a spiritual sense? No. They were trusting Him as their Savior only in a physical sense. So in other words, you have to believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, as the person who is the only entrance into eternal life. And that's where people so often fail. And I think Simon the Sorcerer was one of those people who understood there was something very special about this guy, Jesus Christ, and something very special about these magic that they were doing through the power of the Holy Spirit. He believed what was being preached, but did he accept that belief as being something that would save him and give him eternal life? No, I don't believe so. Now, examples of that, Luke 8:13. Luke 8:13, and we've all heard this about the seed that falls on the rocky soil. It says, there are those who they hear, they receive the word with joy, and they have no firm root. They believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. Those are people who have accepted it. They believe basically what they've done, but they haven't transferred their trust fully into the work of Jesus Christ or the work of the Messiah. So it's a little tricky as far as, you know, people use this as far as losing salvation. I think it actually indicates that a person never was saved, that they hadn't believed. They receive it, they believe what they heard, but that's more of a mental thing. Didn't hit the heart. Didn't work. They also, if you go to John 2, John 2:23, it says, now when he was in Jerusalem, Jesus was in Jerusalem, at the Passover, during the feast, many believed in his name, observing his signs, which he was doing. Well, why did they believe? He was doing the magic. He was doing the healings. He was doing all these things, and people would believe on him, but for what? It says, but Jesus on his part was not entrusting himself to them, for he knew all men, and because he did not need anyone to testify concerning man, for he himself knew. In other words, he knew what their hearts were like, even though it says that they believed on him. He didn't accept them, or he understood that their heart was still far from Christ. And we see that a little farther in John. If we go to John 6, my favorite verse, John 6:66. My life's verse. Okay, as a result of this, and with Jesus was talking to them and saying that, talking about eating, verse 56, he who eats my flesh, drinks my blood, abides in me and I in him. And it was with that teaching that all those who were believing on him, now it says in verse 66 that as a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. So in other words, they believed up to a certain point. They believed a certain thing about him. They believed mentally that who Jesus Christ was. And they believed because they saw the miracles. And so they said, oh, this guy must be somebody special. But they didn't really put their trust in Him as their Messiah. And that, I think that's the same thing that's going on with Simon the Sorcerer. One more verse, John 8:31, probably explains a little bit about Simon. It says, so Jesus was saying to these Jews who had believed Him, if you continue in My word, then you are truly disciples of Mine. Which is an interesting verse, because we don't have that verse for us, do we? That seems to indicate that, like the seed, that they could fall away from that teaching. Remember the vine and the branches? I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in Me, they're fine. The ones who don't abide in Him will be cut off and burned. That whole idea, and that's also in John. The same thing is, that's what this is all about here. That those who don't stay with Christ, those who don't abide in Him, are the ones who will be cut off. And Simon is probably in that group. He really wasn't part of that vine. He wasn't actually connected to the branch. He was not a true believer. And so at that point, he's wants to buy what is what they've got, thinking that it's something that he can use to his advantage, not understanding that this isn't something you buy. This is something you believe.
How does that relate? This is the kingdom gospel.
This is the kingdom, yes.
And all those other things in Luke and in John were kingdom. How does that relate to us as
As grace believers, we don't need to worry about abiding in Him.
Falling away.
There's no indication that I see. When people talk about falling away, there's a verse that talks about that in Timothy, of those who were falling away, and I believe it's probably people that have looked. It has nothing to do with eternal security.
Okay.
I think, first of all, if you take a look at Paul's writings, you'll see that we have to be eternally secure just because of the indwelling Holy Spirit. And the indwelling Holy Spirit secures us for life. It says that we're sealed onto the day of redemption. Well, that's long enough for me.
Well, we did talk about condemnation, believer to believer.
Yes.
But that has nothing to do with eternal security.
Not at all. This is about the walk. And that these things that Paul talks about when we're talking about in Romans is about our position. There's nothing that's going to change our position at all. And so that position always is the same. However, as some put it, the problem is in our condition. Our position's the same, but our condition, we can go back and forth into the spirit or into the flesh.
That's where a believer can help a believer.
And that's where you can look like you're not living your position, so therefore people might question your actual position.
Mm-hmm.
But that has nothing to do with, it's a work of God in a believer. It's not our work.
But if you got hit by a bus, even though you were not in the right condition, you would still be positionally in heaven.
That's absolutely right, yeah.
Otherwise it's worse.
Yeah, otherwise you're holding on. Yeah. You might as well try to obey the law then.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. And with that, we'll have to wrap it up. So let me close in prayer.